This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 21st, 2018, the 21st Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to focus on one word in that passage today, and that is confidence. Our confidence does not lie in ourselves. Our confidence does not lie in a philosophy. Our confidence lies in the God-man, Jesus Christ. When we say that we have confidence, it is because of something objective that someone has done for us. God Himself has done for us. As I said, not some teaching, not some abstraction. You think that this is, well, that's 101 stuff. Obviously, it's not 101 stuff, because just this very week, a couple days ago, one of our parishioners, who is a veritable sponge for things Catholic, and he desires to learn as much as he can, and he was converted in this parish, and he wanted to audit an RCIA class because he just wanted to learn, well, how do they present the faith? Commendable. Commendable, yes, but to his consternation, because he's sitting in class this week, and the lead instructor presents that, you know, we as Christians, we embrace Jesus Christ, but we have to understand that Jesus is love. So it doesn't matter if you claim him or not. It doesn't matter if you embrace what he did or not. It's just a matter that you love. And that means Jesus, so you're okay. That is a hell-binding lie. That is why some of you heard this anecdote before. That is why I could be approached by a Muslim woman, obviously Muslim, dressed as a Muslim, and she walked up to me and said, "Father, how are you?" Which really kind of floored me, because that's not how most people in Islam will address a Catholic priest. And I said, "I'm fine." She goes, "Where's your parish?" I'm like, "My gosh, where's this going?" And she said, "I was baptized and confirmed and named a local parish, and now she's a Muslim." I'm like, that floors me up. How could that happen? How is that at all possible? You know how it's possible? Because listen to drivel like what the catechist taught in the RCIA class. She probably started hanging around Muslims and go, "Hey, they actually believe in their religion. They actually take it serious." That's how that can happen, when you don't know the truth that we embrace Jesus Christ and Him alone as our Savior, the ransom for our sins. That is the teaching of your church. That is a necessity. You don't get into heaven without Jesus, because as He says, "I will give my life a ransom for many." The many of whom He speaks are those who will go to heaven. It's about objectivity. It's about knowing Jesus Christ. Confidence in Him. Not, because if you have confidence in a teaching, it's how you apply the teaching or how much you know about it. We have confidence in the fact that something has been done for us. That's Jesus Christ. Not Moses, not Muhammad, not Buddha, Jesus Christ. None of them claim to be a ransom for your sins. Only he claims to be a ransom for your sins, and the only ransom that is perfect for our sins is God, and that is Jesus Christ. The stage is set for believing this when we, the first reading today from Isaiah, Old Testament, Messianic prophecy, Isaiah 53. We hear about the Messiah. What is he going to be? What's he going to do? The prophet says, it was the will of the Lord to bruise him, to put him to grief, to make him an offering for sin. The Jewish mind at the time is like, what? What's that all about? Offering for sin? You know, we kill animals. What's this whole, the Messiah is supposed to come and, free us from any earthly bondage and, just set us free to kill some more animals. No, the Messiah will be bruised. The Messiah will be put to grief. The Messiah will be an offering for your sins. In the Gospel of Mark today, our Lord Jesus Christ, I came not to be served, but to serve, to give my life a ransom for many. That's why he came. That's why he was incarnate. That's why you have Christmas. You have Christmas because Easter is necessary. That's why we have our Lord. That's why he was incarnate. St. Paul, in the letter to the Hebrews, actually takes that ball and runs with it. He emphasizes that he speaks of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God, one equal with God, who came and was incarnate, not only, first and foremost, but not only to sacrifice himself as a ransom for many, but also as a result of his incarnation to sympathize, and I love the plural, to sympathize with our weaknesses, not weakness. Weakness says we have many of them. Jesus Christ, because of the incarnation, can sympathize. So we do not just embrace this transcendent God whom we really can't comprehend and know. He's just in heaven. He's disassociated from us. We serve a God who actually took on our flesh. We serve a God who is the second Adam, the first Adam who was made of dust, who was flesh, was tempted and yielded. He fell to the temptation. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, had to fix that. He had to be flesh. He had to be tempted, really, and not yield. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did. He experienced our weaknesses, yet he did not yield. He understands what we need. That's why he provides us all the graces that we have. From the time of our baptism, the theological virtues, faith, hope, charity, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, all these things that enable us to live a life of faith and obedience to Jesus Christ and him alone in honor of what he has done for us. He understands what we need. Not only does he understand what we need, he takes our weaknesses into account. He's been there. He knows. And he takes those into account. You cannot look at this and be presumptuous or cocky or lazy. Well, Jesus died for my sins. That must mean everything's well. That's not what it says. There's a caveat to the confidence we have in Jesus Christ. And that caveat is, let us hold fast our confession, the profession of the faith that we embrace and hold. What that parishioner heard this week in that RCIA class is a denial of the faith that Catholics have always embraced, faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. We not only have to talk about it properly, we have to live it. And when we're baptized, if you're an infant, your sponsor say it for you and you validate it at your confirmation. If you're an adult and you're baptized, You promise to resist the temptations of the world, the flesh, the devil. You must. That is holding fast to your confession. Jesus Christ will not deal with just words. He won't have it. He won't do it because he was not about just words. He didn't come on, give us a list of do's and don'ts. It wound up with this. He did something for us objectively. We must reciprocate by holding fast to our confession, by truly living a life where we resist the world, the flesh, and the devil, where we truly live the words of our creed, where we truly practically manifest what we say. This enables us to confidently draw near to the throne of grace. This is where you also have to come into play, and that is in your evangelistic efforts. The members of your family, the friends that you have that are close to you, if you care one lick about them, if they do not embrace Jesus Christ and they do not live a life of faith and obedience, their souls are in danger. Their souls are in danger, and you need to let them know that. They must know it. It is imperative. They must, to approach confidently the throne of grace, to get into heaven. And you know, we want to disassociate this whole idea of after you die, the throne of grace. The altar of every Catholic church is a manifestation of the throne of grace. When we come and we place ourselves reverently before the Lord, receiving him body, blood, soul, and divinity at his invitation, not because we deserve it, not because we're worthy of it, but at his invitation because of his love for us. His love was manifest in the cross, not an abstraction, but an actual objective doing, presenting that love to us. We need to approach that throne of grace now. Your family and your friends need to approach it now because it's not always going to be a throne of grace. As salvation history plays out, things change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we are bound by history, and he presents different things to us. For instance, when our Lord Jesus Christ, he says in the gospel, he says, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. On the cross, he says, it is finished. It is finished, and guess what? Now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He is seated on the throne of grace. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he will be treated as such. Kings do not serve, they are served. We serve him now. So you see how that changed. The throne of grace is going to change ultimately at a point in time to a throne of judgment, a judgment seat. And you better have gone to the throne of grace before that happens, because then you will be confronted with just his justice and not his grace. But he's always going to show us grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ says himself, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done this in your name and not done that in your name? Done many wonderful works. And he's going to look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. He uses in parables this idea of the bridal chamber where all of a sudden, we're late. Knock, knock, knock. The door is locked. Depart. It will not be unlocked. That is that time of despairing. People that are confronted with that will be despairing because they did not confidently come to the throne of grace when they were enabled to do it confidently through the power of what he does for us through his Holy Spirit. The throne of grace is now. It must be approached now. If you keep putting things off, your family keeps putting things off. Now, oh yeah, maybe someday, but I'm living life now. You don't know how long that's going to go on. you must be prepared to approach that throne of judgment. And the only way is through Jesus Christ and his throne of grace. It can sound somewhat intimidating, and it is severe, and it is somewhat threatening. But we have to appreciate the fact that you are very special to this one who sits on the throne of grace, if you were attentive to the first reading. Isaiah goes on to say, after all the sufferings and being bruised, put to grief, being offered for sin, it says that he shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul. That's you. That's you. You are the fruit of the travail of his soul. He did that for you. He shed his blood for you. You should be overwhelmed with the graces that he has shown you. You should be overwhelmed with the necessity of doing everything you possibly can to honor him for what he did for you and what he continues to do for you. You are the fruits of the travail of his soul, and it says he will look upon you and he will be satisfied. It is kind of amazing to think, for me anyway, that he would be satisfied with me in any way, shape, or form. But he is, because God says he is. We are the fruit of his travail. We are the fruit of the sufferings that he endured for us on the cross. It should make you feel very special. It should not make you presumptuous. It should not make you lazy or irreverent. We can never take what he did for us for granted. We cannot allow other people to take what he did for granted. We can never have him denied, because when you stand firm for him in the face of all kind of flack that you will get for presenting that it's salvation in Jesus Christ and him alone, even among our own people, unfortunately, when you stand firm for that, you are the fruits of the travail of his soul. And when you get to the judgment seat, he will be well satisfied. And you want to be judged by one who is satisfied with what you've done. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.